Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Well, we're still having a minor problem with this new setup. I don't know what to do. Anyway, let's talk about the birthdays today. I'm still recovering, and I've had some unfortunate things to happen. Today is the birthday of the great Southern fiction writer who wrote about Southern mores and morals. William Faulkner was born today. Great modern painter, modernist, Mark Rothko, his birthday today. Great Russian composer, Dmitri Shostakovich, who was in Leningrad, now called St. Petersburg. He was in Leningrad, wrote his 7th symphony, the Leningrad Symphony, while the Germans were trying to take the city during World War II. Another great Russian in the film history of Russia, Sergei Bondarchuk, who did the great Russian version of Tolstoy's War and Peace, and he got an Academy Award of the actress who played Natasha. Great British composer Colin Rex Davis, made many specialists in Berlioz, made many recordings. And we have the guy who played Superman and who was killed, injured, and paralyzed on a movie set, and later died, Christopher Reeve, his birthday today. this is really weird. I don't know what to think of this, but anyway. Also, among the deaths today, this is missing today, Civility, Emily Post, was born died today. Sri Lankan or Ceylonese Prime Minister S.W. Bandarki was killed by assassinated by, of all people, a Buddhist monk. Remember, this came up in the U.S. Navy Yard murder of all those employees and military personnel last week. They said the guy was a Buddhist. Well, apparently, if he was, we can see that the Buddhists do have a history of assassination and murder. Not every Buddhist is that way, but the so-called peaceful religion is like that also. He wrote The Day Jesus Died. Bob Considine died on this day. And then, of course, Walter Pidgeon, great actor from New Brunswick, Canada. had a great D voice. He was in not 12 O'Clock High, but a lot of World War II films, Mrs. Greer, Marie Curie, great actor, great voice, and he died after several strokes. Among the other events today, Balboa was the first European to see to cast his eyes upon the Pacific Ocean. In 1639, the first printing press was set up in America. This was part of the Gutenberg Revolution. In 1789, the U.S. Congress proposed a proposal for a Bill of Rights. 10 out of 12 proposals were adopted. In 1861, in the Civil War, the Secretary of Navy, also known as SECNAV, approved the enlistment of slaves. In the 20s, Henry Ford, who was a true progressive when it came to labor matters, he approved the 8-hour workday and 5 days a week. Remember, he was the guy who invented the assembly line. And he also said, you can have every color you want on the car as long as it's black. And then General Motors came along and offered people all kinds of colors and many other things, easy financing. In 1957, President Dwight Eisenhower ordered the U.S. Army to integrate Little Rock High School. And in 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor from Arizona was the first woman appointed to be an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. In 1986, the first Italian ethnic, Antonin Scalia, was appointed as an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, among the things that are happening and not getting a lot of publicity, there are five California mothers who have been petitioning law enforcement, the local police, state attorneys, county attorneys, the federal government, law enforcement, to help them locate their missing children, and some of whom are adults, and we have a picture of this. One of the most prominent is the city kid, and he's on this Amicus Veritas, the new shadow, and will be up on the World Wide Web, and some more information on them. Now, if you've ever had to file a workman's comp claim or injury that involved a lot of money, some controversial insurance companies, as well as their adjusters, hire these guys known as independent medical examiners, or IMEs. These guys are not people who do autopsies, but the way they may handle your case and what some law firms are claiming both in the U.S. and Canada, that you may as well be dead, or they'll try to kill your claim or whittle it down to what is called a lowball. That is trying to settle a case at an amount of money which they know is less than the case is worth. And a lot of these guys are incompetent. They lie. We have a major case here in California which is going to come up, which involved the attempted bribery of a cop. An illegal alien who didn't even have a license in her own country, was in the U.S. illegally working and driving a car without a California license and without her employer's car, didn't have auto insurance. And a senior citizen was injured, had to have surgery, and the adjusters in the case, his adjusters, hired this so-called independent medical examiner who wasn't even a member of this organization. There's an independent medical examiner organization. This guy, 84 years old, claimed to be an orthopedic surgeon, was not recertified. Every 10 years, the Certified Orthopedic Association requires their members to be recertified. There's always changes in the medical field. And, of course, when it comes to ethics, we don't see that. One of the problems with the Tea Party, I think, is that they've been so busy worrying about going to Washington and bitching about the budget there, but nobody looks, or few people look, at what's going on when federal money comes into their local communities and who are the representatives voted for in those communities who go to Washington and then vote for this big budget. So as Tip O'Neill used to say, all politics is local, and this is one of the things which we agree on that, having worked in Illinois politics and in California politics. So what I suggest to people who are concerned, who want real reform and not, quote, change, because change implies these change the faces, the policies change very little, if at all. What you need is reform, and the way to get this is to know what's going on in your local community, know who's getting federal funds, know how they're accounting for it, know how it is spent, and know what you want this money, your tax money, to be spent on in your local communities. Also, to communicate with other Tea Party people and other people who want real reform across the country. Yeah, I think that here's a phrase that we use at Amicus, that San Francisco is ready for renaissance, renewal, and reform, and I think the country is ready for that. Now, Senator Dianne Feinstein Blum, she's been married a number of times, has proposed a government authorization designating who is a journalist. Well, I think, who is she to determine this? And there's a lot of scandals in her background. And about steering money to her husband, Richard Blum. Here's an interesting take on newspapers, and I think it's very important on the media. And this ironically came from Hearst, who was a Californian. And this is from Citizen Kane. I think this is very appropriate to run this clip from that movie. I'm going to go run part of it right now.
Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
Charge, you know perfectly well there's not the slightest proof that this armada's off the Jersey
Hello,
coast.
Mr. Bernstein.
Excuse me, Mr.
Can you
Kane.
Prove it isn't?
Is this just
Mr. Bernstein,
in?
I'd like you to meet Mr. Thatcher.
I'll just call
how do you do,
Mr.
Thatcher?
Leland,
Hello.
Mr. Thatcher, my ex-guardian. We have no secrets from our readers, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Thatcher is one of our most devoted readers. He knows what's wrong with every copy of the Inquirer since I took over. Read the cable.
Girls delightful in Cuba, stop. Could send you prose poems about scenery, but don't feel right spending your money. Stop. There is no war in Cuba. Signed, Wheeler. Any answer?
Yes, dear Wheeler, you provide the prose poems. I'll provide the war.
That's fine, Mr. Kane.
Yes, I rather like myself.
No,
right away.
I came to see you about
yes,
this
Mr.
campaign
Thatcher.
Of yours. This Inquirer campaign against the public transit company.
Mr. Thatcher, do you know anything we could use against them?
Still the college boy, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Thatcher. I was expelled from college. A lot of colleges, you remember. I remember.
Charles, I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes,
that
Mr.
you are
Thatcher.
Yourself one of the largest individual
Mr.
stockholders in the public transit company.
The trouble is you don't realize you're talking to two people. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 82,364 shares of public transit preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a scoundrel. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott him. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time's
on the other hand, I am the publisher of the Inquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hard-working people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. If I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged, maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes, yes,
and that
yes.
Would
money
be too
and property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me honestly, my boy, don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise, this Inquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
Well, this script is also from Citizen Kane, and it's typical of what Hearst and other media magnates, their attitude as they got older and how they decided to manipulate the news that they thought people in the country should know about or not know about.
School, very nice girl, very nice. Emily was a little nicer. Well, after the first couple of months, she and Charlie didn't see much of each other except at breakfast. It was a marriage just like any other marriage.
You're beautiful.
Oh, I can't.
Yes, you are. You're very, very beautiful.
I've never been to think
body's monotonous.
Extremely beautiful.
My whole life. I'm living monotonously.
It's a matter of habit.
I wonder what they're saying.
They'll think we enjoyed ourselves.
Yes.
Didn't we?
I don't see why you have to go straight out to the newspaper.
You never should have married a newspaper man. They're worse than sailors. I absolutely adore you.
Oh, Charles, even newspaper men have to sleep.
I'll call Mr. Bernstein, having put off my appointments until noon. What time is it?
Oh, I don't know. It's late.
It's early.
Charles, do you know how long you kept me waiting last night while you went to the newspaper for 10 minutes? What do you do in a newspaper in the middle of the night?
Emily, my dear, your only correspondent is the Inquirer.
Sometimes I think I'd prefer a rival of flesh and blood.
Oh, Emily, I don't spend that much time on the newspaper.
It isn't just the time. It's what you print, attacking the president.
You mean Uncle John?
I mean the president of the United States.
He's still Uncle John. He's still a well-meaning fathead who's letting a pack of high-pressure crooks run his administration. This whole oil scandal...
He happens to be the president, Charles, not you.
That's a mistake that will be corrected one of these days.
Your Mr. Bernstein sent Junior the most incredible atrocity yesterday, Charles. I simply can't have it in the nursery.
Mr. Bernstein is apt to pay a visit to the nursery now and then.
Does he have to?
Yes.
Really, Charles? People will think...
What I tell them to think.
Ever in love with her?
No, because we're having problems again with this new computer system until we work it all out. We're going to end this episode early, but we're going to try to have this fixed by Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also, if this is getting through, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. We're going to end this early, and maybe we'll try our team and see what happens here. I don't know what's the matter with this bloody computer. We just got it back from the shop, and I spent enough money on it. But anyway, we'll try to end with our theme here. Let's see. politics and poker. Let's see what happens.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I. Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, what's the time?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
break a five.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
I'm going to end this episode a few minutes early because to find out what's causing the problem here, because we got no sound on in my earphones. We'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Good night.